thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service comes to you from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland. This is Alvin Craig speaking, and we invite you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. Father, we are truly thankful for the life that you have given us. Not only have you given us physical life, but we have spiritual life through your Son. And we are truly thankful for the life that you have blessed us with. We are thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today, and we're trusting that the Holy Spirit shall accompany it and will make it a blessing to each heart. Now, you see our congregation, you know their burdens and their cares, and we're thankful that you love them, each one. And you've told us to cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. So remember our congregation, minister to their needs, whether it be something temporal, spiritual, or physical. We pray that you will bless them, help them according to their needs, and make this broadcast a blessing to them also. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Satan led my soul astray.
Satan led my soul astray. I drifted
from the straight and narrow way
that leads to happiness and life eternal.
But to Jesus I did pray.
The Lord I humbly prayed.
He heard my prayer, rescued me that very day.
Praise God, I'm free. every chain of sin.
I've been set free by the grace of God. I'm free.
With the settled peace within.
No more the paths of sin I've trod. I'm free.
Heaven's gates I'll enter in.
The blood has cleansed every sinful stain. I'm free.
Praise the living God.
Oh, praise His name. Oh, praise His name. On the sinful path below,
on the sinful path below is trouble.
All in sorrow, grief, and woe,
the sinner's load is mighty hard to carry.
But I've left the shifting sand,
I have left the shifting sand
upon the rock, solid rock. I'll take my stand, I'll take my stand.
Every chain of sin.
I've been set free by the grace of God. I'm free.
With a settled peace within.
No more the paths of sin I've trod. I'm free.
Heaven's gates I'll enter in.
The blood hath cleansed every sinful stain. I'm free.
Praise the living God. Oh, praise His name. Oh, praise His name.
Soon the pearly gates I'll see
in heaven. Soon
I'll live eternally,
and then I'll never die but live forever.
Friends and loved ones wait for me.
Friends and loved ones wait for me.
I'll sail fly through the sky because I'm free. Because I'm free. God, I'm free.
Free from every chain of sin.
I've been set free by the grace of God. I'm free.
With a settled peace within.
No more the paths of sin I've trod. I'm free.
Heaven's gates I'll enter in.
The blood has cleansed every sinful stain. I'm free.
Praise the living God.
Oh, praise His name.
On today's broadcast, I want to follow up the thoughts of last week's broadcast when we spoke on repentance. The title of our subject today is The Importance of Repentance. And our text of Scripture is the same as on our last broadcast, chapter 13, verses 1 through 5 of the book of Luke. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them. Think you that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The importance of repentance is shown by its relation to other things in the gospel. The importance is also shown very clearly by our text today. For Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So certainly this passage of Scripture emphasizes and points out the importance of repentance. Paul, speaking to the elders of Ephesus, said, I have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20 and 21. So faith and repentance are closely connected. Faith connects us with God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Paul goes on to say, if he be the writer of Hebrews, that they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so repentance is a component of faith. Someone has said, repentance is the yeast that turns dead faith into saving or living faith. Again, the Apostle Paul said, I have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so faith is necessary. We can confess or we can repent and repent and repent. But until we believe, until we have that faith, we are still in our sin. But the very moment that we believe God and take him at his word, the work is done. The Apostle John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we must believe that. Now, forgiveness and repentance go together. The results of truly believing the gospel are both objective, sins blotted out in heaven, in heaven's record, and subjective. We turn away from our sins here on earth. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. So it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin, forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations. And let me add here, the Apostle Peter has told us in Acts 4 and 12 that there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we may be saved. This idea that people can get to heaven some other way other than Christ's way is not supported by the Scriptures. In fact, Jesus himself taught us if we try to climb up some other way, we are a thief and a robber. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So there is only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And Jesus again said, without this repentance, you're going to perish. But with the repentance, with the godly sorrow, there must be that faith that believes and takes God at his word. So confession and repentance is required. Confess is expressed outwardly by our telling God of our wrongs. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. So repentance can be expressed inwardly by change of mind and purpose. I am not suggesting that you've got to go and confess your sin to some priest or some rabbi or some preacher. I say on the authority of God's word that our sins are to be confessed to Almighty God, for he is the one that loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And repentance is to be preached, it is to be taught in the name of Jesus Christ, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved. Now, whenever we come to God with true repentance and we confess our sins and we are converted, conversion and repentance goes together. You change your mind, repentance, and let the Lord change you, conversion. And again, conversion is turning from and turning to. And whenever we are truly converted, we turn away from our sins and we turn to God. Again, Peter said in Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And so a person must hear the gospel, he must believe, he must repent, and he must forsake. And then after a person is truly saved, truly converted, their sins forgiven, then they need to be baptized. Through faith we turn from our sins, and baptism declares them washed away by the blood of Christ. No, water baptism does not wash them away. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that washes our sins away. But baptism is an outward testimony, a declaration that we have turned from our own works, from our own sinful way, and have turned to God. You know, people who teach that you're not saved until you're baptized, beloved, you have to die before you're buried. And baptism is a burial. Let me repeat that. Baptism is a burial. And you know, it's against the law to bury people while they're still alive. And the same thing is true when it comes to what I'm talking about. We are not to be baptized, we are not to be buried in the watery grave until we die to sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, God called Philip to leave Samaria and go down in a desert place. And there Philip, obeying the Lord, found a man from Ethiopia returning home from worshiping up at Jerusalem. The man had been up to Jerusalem, but he had not received what he needed, and he had not heard the message that he needed to hear. And so God sent Philip down there, and the man was reading from the scroll of Isaiah about a lamb that was led to the slaughter. And Philip was invited up in the chariot with the eunuch, and he asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how can I, except some man teach me?" And Philip took that very scripture from Isaiah and preached unto him Christ. And as they went along, they came to a body of water. And the eunuch said to Philip, "Here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said to the eunuch, "If you have been born again, I'll baptize you. And if you haven't been born again, I won't." Now I'm putting that in my words, but that's exactly what Philip said in meaning. For he said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And the Apostle John tells us that if we really and truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then we are born again. So Philip said to the eunuch, "If you have been born again, if you have died to sin and been made alive to Christ, then I'll baptize you. If not, then I won't." And the eunuch replied to Philip, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. I believe." And so they stopped the chariot, they went out in the water, and Philip baptized him. Yes, so baptism is a part of the gospel, and it's a necessary part of the gospel, but let's put it in its proper place. Baptism comes after we have repented of our sins and been born of the Spirit of God, been made alive in Christ, and then we are ready to be buried in the water baptism, or in the watery grave. And when we come out of that grave, we are to walk in newness of life, showing by the life that we have, that we live, that we have truly died to sin and been made alive to Christ. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Now, after we have been truly converted and we're baptized in the watery grave, we need to go forth bearing fruit. The fruit of repentance. Yes, there is fruit to be born. Both John, the forerunner of Christ, and the Apostle Paul stresses that repentance must be accompanied by a change in conduct. John said to those Pharisees that came to his baptism, "Bring forth fruit, therefore, meets for repentance. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8. Paul also said, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed forth unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." So after a person is truly converted, they are to show by their fruits that they have indeed died to sin and been made alive to Christ. And of course, the Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, and faith, and meekness. And so a person who has been truly saved, they need to be filled with the Spirit also, for the fruit of the Spirit is the things that I have just mentioned. And we are to show forth by the fruit that we bear that we have truly died to sin and been made alive to Christ. And when I speak about being filled with the Spirit, I'm not talking about some strange wildfire thing. I'm talking about us consecrating and dedicating our lives to God, surrendering ourselves, consecrating, as Paul says in Romans 12 and 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, told them, "Ye are not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So we are to be a temple for the indwelling of the Spirit of God, and we are to bear the fruit. And the bearing of the fruit is what really shows that we are a child of God and that the Spirit of God is abiding in us. It's not some strange wildfire thing, jibber-jabber. No, that's not required. It is not taught in the Scriptures. But bearing the fruit is. For Jesus said, "By their fruits you shall know them." Now, God's kingdom and repentance. Repentance is the key to the kingdom of God. I mentioned that John came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Christ came preaching repentance, "For the kingdom of God is at hand." And so repentance is the key to the kingdom of God. Jesus is the door to the kingdom, and faith with repentance enables us to enter through the door. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So Jesus said in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. And Jesus said in John 10 and 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And of course, that very familiar passage of Scripture, when Nicodemus came to see Jesus, talking to him about eternal life, Jesus said, "Except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." So, being born again, repentance, and being born again, being truly converted, is necessary to enter into the kingdom of God. And let me say here, the kingdom of God is a present reality. Yes, Jesus said the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, not 2,000, 3,000 years down the way. No, the kingdom of God is at hand, and we are to repent and believe the gospel. And whenever a person truly repents and believes the gospel, they are born again and they are born into the kingdom of God. If you are a Christian today, really a Christian, you have been born of the Spirit, and whenever you were born of the Spirit, you were born into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has to be a present reality for you to be born into it. But you know, it's a sad thing that so many people do not really know what it means to be a Christian. My heart is troubled when I hear about people plotting to kill police officers and they claim to be Christians. They don't know what it means to be a Christian. And multitudes of people who profess to be a Christian do not know what it really means to be a Christian. To really be a Christian is to be Christ-like. It is to live the gospel. As Jesus told the disciples, go, teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's what it means to be a Christian, to obey the teachings of the Word of God. And we are told to love our very enemies. And we are told to forgive one another with a pure heart fervently. And we are told that we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It takes more than a name to be a Christian. It takes more than water baptism to be a Christian. And certainly church joining has nothing to do with it. Again, as we have endeavored to emphasize on these two broadcasts, repentance and turning away from sin, being converted and becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. As the Apostle Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And this starts by repenting of our sins with true godly sorrow. Heavenly Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing the gospel with you. We trust that what we have brought to you today will be a blessing to your soul. If so, why not encourage us by letting us know? And our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. On our webpage, you can listen to a number of our broadcasts if you've missed any. You may also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. And you can join us in our services. Our Sunday services are broadcast live, and our morning worship service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening worship service begins at 6. That's Eastern Time on Sunday. And our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin E. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast. And we invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, will be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you is our sincere prayer.
Would you please rise?